January 28, 2017. 2018. 2018. I remember what year we're in. I'm getting older, but I'm not that old. January 28, 2018. I remember as a kid looking to the year 2000, wondering how old I'd be at that time, and then thinking, how are any of us ever going to get there? Change is constant. Change is great. Not every change is great. In our lifetimes, we've watched the U.S. become a post-Christian nation. Founded on Judeo-Christian heritage, ethics, morals, and beliefs, we've become a pluralistic, hedonistic fulfillment of what they had in Judges, doing what is right in our own eyes. This morning, I felt constrained by the Lord to interrupt the message series on prayer. And I'd like you to read the title of this morning's message with me, please. Hold to the courage of your convictions. Again, hold to the courage of your convictions. Some of you have heard, most have heard of deists or deism. It was a philosophy and a philosophical position that talked about how God created the world and then disappeared, left it up to man to run. Posits that God does not interfere directly with the world, rejects divine intervention or revelation in the universe, rejects all miracles by God because, after all, he's not on the scene. It led to things like Unitarianism and things that deny the power, the miracles of God. Rejects revelation as a source of religious knowledge. Asserts the thought that reason and observation of the natural world are sufficient. The 1800s, 1700s, 1800s, 1900s, Age of Enlightenment in France and Europe spread over to America, and that became some foothold and some of the things. And you know, there's all the arguments that our early fathers in our nation were a bunch of deists. Certainly some were, not every one of them. We had some dedicated, sold-out Christians who helped to birth our country. Interestingly, in the age of the internet, since the year 2000, especially from 2000 on, deism is making a full charge back into people's thinking. Teachers are shoving, cramming, inculcating these kinds of thoughts into our children. Thinking that's contrary to the principles of the Word of God on which our nation even was founded. If you remember, Marx said, give me one generation and give me the schools, and in 40 years, I will literally transform a nation and its culture. And he's right. 1963, we had the outlawing of mandated prayer and Bible reading in schools in America. It became extrapolated into declaring the separation of church and state. The church can't put itself onto the state, when in actuality, that phrase is not in our Constitution. That phrase was first used by Thomas Jefferson in a letter written to a convention of pastors, meaning that the state cannot force its will upon the church of Jesus Christ, completely contrary to what's become in vogue and popular perspective of today. I've got some real interesting thoughts to share with you. How many have ever heard of Barna? Barna Research Group. Barna Research Group is a group of dedicated Christians, but they don't just do Christian things. They are the studiers and researchers of life across America, absolutely across the world. Corporations hire them for trends of shoppers nowadays as compared to what used to happen. But over the past decades, they have done study after study, and I find their books fascinating because what we're looking at is a transformation of American culture. And I want to talk to you about Generation Z. How many have heard of Generation Z? Thee and me. Generation Z, that's why I want to talk about it for a few minutes, because these are your children and these are your grandchildren. Not your children, these are your grandchildren. And in some cases, it may be your great-grandchildren. What is it they believe? What is it that's happening in American culture right now? Remember, what we do at church is we get information that leads us to inspiration, leading us to what? Impartation, and then, therefore, transformation. And I believe before the Lord, this information is absolutely crucial. And I'm going to go through several points about Generation Z. We actually attended at our home a webinar, if you will, of the Barna Research Group that was held just this last week that released this data. Generation Z was born between 1999 and 2015. Students who have passed through our school system or are right there currently. These students, now listen, Generation Z, born between 99 and 2015. Do you know what they call this generation? Screenagers. Because they spend at least 4 hours a day on their screens and their technology. Not just their computer, their tablets, their phone, their smartphones, and every other kind of capacity. Screenagers. One out of every eight identifies as a non-heterosexual. That's an astronomical figure. Historically, in America, homosexuality, there was about 1% to 3%. And then, if you recall the television shows, there was almost, on every single television show, there were gay characters, and the PR, public relations agenda, was to have people think that probably fully 25 to 35% of our country was homosexual. It's simply not the truth. But this generation has a higher number of people that declare themselves non-heterosexual, husband of man and wife, declare them not that way. Do you follow? Are you tracking with it? Now, we love everybody. Listen to me. Listen carefully. Even as I say these things this morning and as we look at standing on our convictions, we love everybody. We speak the truth in love. We are not anti things. We are pro Jesus and pro His word. Someone say amen. Amen. We are pro His way. Amen. That doesn't mean that we don't stand against the spiritual warfare in our country. The Bible, I'm going to just say it again, the Bible says we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers. There are demonic powers loosed in the land to create confusion, to create error. And if you have the people drinking from the waters of error, what is the result? A people who go into error, who leave their moorings, leave their foundations, and end up in total shipwreck. What do you think the devil wants for our country, our children in this country, the people of this country? He wants the freedom to worship God to go away and make our country and the rights and freedoms we have to be shipwrecked and bankrupt. Do you think we have a reason to pray? Yes. Come on, church. Do you think we have a reason to stand? Absolutely do. So I'm just going to continue. Two-thirds of Generation Z identify as Christian. Get this, only 4% have a Christian worldview. Do you know what that tells you? That tells you that a lot of people have chosen to go the direction of entertain the people, but don't teach them. Amen. We were watching as several youth leaders stood up and said, "We can entertain these kids all day long, but our entertainment in the church is not near as interesting as the entertainment in the world. It's going to go empty. And if all we've done is entertain them, you have no keeping power when they leave your youth group and go on to the future of their lives." Only 4% have a worldview. How do you change that? You got to keep teaching as the Church of Jesus Christ. You got to keep preaching and you got to keep teaching. And we need to keep relationship and don't give up on the journey that God has called us to walk. Someone say amen or oh no. Amen. That's an alarming statistic. Only 6 out of 10 church-going teens believe the Bible is accurate. That means fully 40%. We rejoice with the 6 out of 10.
Yeah.
But that means fully 40% don't believe the Bible's accurate. What do they believe? What's their belief system? That truth is relative. They don't believe, in fact, listen, they don't believe that there are truths, but there are facts, and truth can change. Do you hear the error in that? There are only facts. Truth can change. And they live in a world of relativism. It's all relative. They want happiness. And happiness is identified as what the celebrities on television show us or in the movies. And then they compare themselves with that happiness, and nothing is ever right then. By the way, how many know that TV and movies aren't real? You know that, don't you? Punch your neighbor and say, it ain't real. Don't believe it. Now listen, a third of them believe lying is wrong. Which means two-thirds of them believe lying is just fine. Every other generation understood that when I told a fib, there was a bar of soap at home. Or consequences. Now this is especially imperative to realize. Every generation previous to this one, when you would ask what formulates your life, how do you get formation? How are you formed? Sociologists and people who do studies of the family and everything for all of our history have said that what you were born leads to your formation, your identity, and problems come about because you reject what you were born. In past times, every other generation said, what formulates my life, first of all, I'm formulated by my family. Secondly, by religion. This generation, family comes fifth. And religion comes sixth. What's formulating their lives? Social media. Technology. For the first time since these studies have begun, number 5 and number 6, 33%, fully a third of them. Are you bored or is this interesting? It's more than interesting. It should give you a huge burden of love for these kids who need to know the truth. And for our country. Fully a third of them say gender is what one feels, not what one was born. That's an astronomical shift. They lack a moral compass. Do you know 29% of Generation Z, for the first time in history, 29% say they know someone who has changed their gender. Do you know what the church is going to be full of when God brings revival? A lot of people who have become thoroughly confused by the transformation somebody else told them was just fine, instead of helping them come to a realization of who they were created to be in the Lord. God have mercy on our land. And we will welcome everyone in the name of Jesus who comes streaming in through revival. Amen? Amen. You know, I hope you look around next week and see 500 people in this room from every stripe, every color, every background who have come to be hungry and met by Jesus Christ. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Come on, look around the room. You see them all? You see them sitting next to you? And you're reaching out, giving them Bibles and saying, hey, we love you. Amen. When the revival hit in the 70s, there were a bunch of long, stringy-haired, greasy-haired people who walked into churches all over the place when the Jesus People movement hit. And holes in their knees, in their jeans rather, holes in their jeans, wearing sandals. And church after church rejected them and missed the revival. And the Jesus People movement started and found its way in a home and some churches that went astronomical and spread around the world where people said, come on in. The Lord loves you and we do too. Maybe you don't look like me. You know, it's probably good you don't all look like me. Turn to each other and say, I'm glad I don't look like him. But we want to welcome them. We want to welcome them. There'll be little kids running around, maybe screaming during the message, and some of you want to turn around and say, shut up! And I'll go, hey, it's okay. I hope. I might be the one saying, shut up! No, we want to welcome them. Now listen, this is really important. Just get a flavor of this. They're offended if somebody doesn't recycle, but pornography is fine. Do you hear the difference? There's a lack of moral compass. In fact, they're offended if somebody has a true north measure in their life. That offends them. They're afraid to share and challenge and are turned off by the idea of absolute truth. Church, where do you find absolute truth? They believe in justice, but they don't believe in absolute truth. How many know you don't get any justice if you don't believe in His absolute truth? That's where justice and right and wrong comes from. But they haven't been taught that. They've been taught an awful lot of confusion. Psalm 11, verse 3. Read it with me, would you? If the foundations are destroyed, what can the righteous do? Watch this, 11:3-5 out of the Passion. What can the righteous accomplish when truth's pillars are destroyed and law and order collapse? Yet the Eternal One is never shaken. He's still found in His temple of holiness, reigning as Lord and King over all. I'm not standing here this morning pulling my hair out and ripping my clothes and saying, God can't do anything. Well, God can do everything. But His people need to know what's going on. So we know how to pray and focus our prayers and know what to rebuke and bind and what to loose and see and help spread the hunger and share the good news. Because He's still on the throne. He's still found in His temple of holiness, reigning as Lord and King over all. He's closely watching everything that happens, and with a glance, His eyes examine every heart. Church, we've said it over and over again. What you believe determines how you live. It's vital. What are we going to do with all this? Number one, hold to the truth of Jesus and His word. Come on, say that with me. I want you to boom it out. Hold to the truth, Jesus and His word. John 7:17, boom it out. Your word is truth. Come on, say it again. Your word is truth. First part of that verse says, sanctify them by your truth, and goes on to say, your word is truth. Listen, lies believed don't change the fact that it's a lie.
That's right.
Please hear me. A lie believed by a lot of people doesn't believe that that lie is true. A lie is whatever is contrary to this, to God's word. Let God be true, the Bible says, and every man a liar. In other words, next to God, I better line up. You remember the old plumb line? You hold the plumb line and it's straight, and you can tell if that wall you just built leans. And if it leans, it's not true. So we put our life up to this and we see if we're leaning. Hopefully not leaving. We see if we're leaning and then get rebuilt. Listen, popularity doesn't dictate truth. There were whole generations of people who were convinced that the earth was flat. Guess what? That wasn't true. Thy word is truth. Truth is not relative. Truth is not up for a popularity contest. Truth is not relative. There must be a final authority, or there's never a right and wrong. There's never a determining factor. God determines what's right or wrong. So we learn to live how He wants. And we begin to carry this burden to pray for our family. How many are praying for your grandkids? Amen. Praying for, you know, listen, guys, what you had in school however many years ago is not what they're having in school today. Lying is of the devil. It's wrong and it's sin. Someone say amen or oh no.
Amen.
Can Jesus forgive the lie? Of course He can. But we need to understand, the Bible says in John 8:44, Jesus looked at the Pharisees and people who wanted to tell a different story than truth. Jesus looked at him, being nice and peaceable guy he was. You're of the father, the devil. And the desires of your father you want to do. And what does he say? He was a murderer from the beginning and does not stand in the truth because there is no truth in him. When he speaks a lie, he speaks it from his own resources, for he is a liar and the father of it. Who's the father of lying? The devil is. Hold to the truth, Jesus and his word. Number two, stand up for Jesus and his word. Come on, say it with me. Stand up for Jesus and his word. Ephesians 4:15, but speaking the truth in love, may grow up in all things into him who is the head. How are we going to grow up to be like Jesus? How? Speaking the truth in love, hearing the truth, reading the truth, putting it into our spirits, our minds, allowing him to transform us by his word and truth. It says, speak the truth in love. But it says, speak the truth. Yeah. Amen? Yes. 2 Timothy 2:25 out of the New American Standard. With gentleness, correcting those who are in opposition. If perhaps God may grant them repentance, leading to the knowledge of the truth. Don't compromise your life. Don't compromise God's word. We're not perfect yet. We're not here to cram it and shove it down people's throats, but we are here to express it, believe it, declare it. And they can look at you and me all day long and say, how can you tell me that? You're not perfect. And you look at them and go, no, I'm not. I'm forgiven by the grace of God, and so can you be. Amen. Forgiven by the grace of Jesus. What do we do? What do we do? Very simple this morning. Teach the word. Teach the word. If church only becomes an entertainment place, I really want you to hear me, please. If church only becomes an entertainment place, we are no better than another social club or organization. And people need to know the church of Jesus Christ is the pillar and ground, the Bible says, of the truth. Where do you come to hear truth? Now look, do we all understand it perfectly? No. But we're sure trying to grow and understand it better and live it better. We're trying to help one another. That's why you come to church. Hopefully it strengthens your faith when you come to be with God's people. You look at each other and go, how you doing? I'm praying for you. And I want you to know, and we encourage each other, and we sing these songs, and we turn to each other, high five, and say, Jesus loves you, don't you know? And you leave built up and strengthened with a better faith than when you came in. How many think that might be important? Yes. But today's society? Do what's right in your own eyes. Who needs church? Listen, there is a vital, breathing, living organism. It's not the building. It's the people. This organism called the body of Christ. And truth is important. Truth is important, so teach the word. Number two, provide real relationships. These people were talking about these Generation Z, and they were saying, you know what they need? Relationships. One of the things they talked about was this youth leader sat down one night, had his people come in, and they just all talked together all night long. They just sat and talked and fellowship and shared. And then one of these kids came up to this youth leader afterwards. He said, oh, that was the greatest time. Can't we do this again? And the youth leader looked at him and goes, that's just called hanging out. That's what we do. He said, but even when you're talking with them, the whole time, you have to keep reaching out because they have this phone in front of them where they'll look at you and then they go back to this and you go, no, 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 I'm right here. You want a practical word of advice not to split your family apart? If they're over at your home for dinner, the technology gets put away. Yes, listen to me. You tell them to put the phone down and the tablet down. And if you need to, you go shut off your Wi-Fi system if that's what it takes. So you can learn how to relate together and love each other. Maybe sit down and do a crossword puzzle. Or a 1,000-piece jigsaw puzzle. Listen, I don't have the patience for a 1,000-piece jigsaw. 25 pieces is my limit. I'm talking about relating. Really? 25 pieces, usually they're big enough chunks you can figure it out, right? Okay, I got to get on to the next thing. Done. Oh, great. Provide real relationships. It's what they need. It's what we need. Number three, keep it up. Come on, basics. Teach the word. Real relationships. Keep it up. Keep meeting together. Keep sharing together. Keep praying for each other. Keep reading the word. Keep worshiping. It's vital to encourage you in your real faith. Now, I want to read a quote to you. This is really crucial. Why is church important? If you have once accepted Christianity, here goes the quote. Then I'll tell you who did it, unless it's already, no, it's not. Thank you, Pat. Okay, you're doing great. Thank you. If you have once accepted Christianity, then some of its main doctrines shall be deliberately held before your mind for some time every day. That's why daily prayers and religious readings and church goings are necessary parts of the Christian life. C.S. Lewis, who wrote Mere Christianity, went on to say, we have to be continually reminded of what we believe. Neither this belief nor any other will automatically remain alive in the mind. It must be fed. Oh, I don't have to go to church. And you wonder after a while why you feel distant from God and from your friends that you used to gather with in worship. Feeding, teaching, relationship. Right back to the basics. And Generation Z needs it just like we all need it. Generation whatever we are. Psalm 78, verse 4, out of the New Living. Pass the faith on, church. Turn to each other and say, pass the faith on. We will not hide these truths from our children. We will tell the next generation about the glorious deeds of the Lord. That's what it says in the Psalms, Psalm 78, 4. We will not hide these truths from our children. We will tell the next generation about the glorious deeds of the Lord, about His power and His mighty wonders. Romans 10, verse 14, out of the New Living, just mark them down if you're taking notes. And it says this, but how can they call on Him to save them unless they believe in Him? And how can they believe in Him unless someone, if they've never heard about Him? And how can they hear about Him unless someone tells them? Out of the Passion. Listen to it out of the Passion. I didn't even try to put it up there. I just wanted you to hear it. But how can people call on Him for help if they've not yet believed? And how can they believe in one they've not yet heard of? How can they hear the message of life if there's no one there to proclaim it? It takes guts and passion and surrender to Jesus to say no to the flesh and say yes to Him. To reading His Word, to coming to church, to reaching out and sharing Jesus with your neighbor, your neighbor's kids. Listen, if you don't think we're in warfare, Canada just passed a law. It's a law where the government has the right to take away your children if you don't believe them when they tell you that they are transgender. If you try to teach your children, that's not the way of God. Son and daughter, let's look and see how God created you and what you're to be. They can take away your children if you don't believe them when they tell you this is what they are. You think we're kidding? We're involved in spiritual warfare, guys. When our country, I'm going to make a strong statement to you. When our country sends to the Supreme Court that a cake baker cannot choose what he supports or she supports and doesn't support in making their cake or their artistry. We've gone to total confusion. And it's a gay agenda that has happened. And I love homosexuals. You love homosexuals. We all know people and God loves them. But listen, if they were to take on a Muslim cake baker, The Muslim cake baker wouldn't make it for them either. But that's not what's tested. Christianity is in the marketplace. Christianity is where the threat is. Jesus Christ is where the threat is. Goes all the way up to the Supreme Court to see if that cake baker, who loved the people that came and took him to court, he loved them, and they were there all the time, and he did things for them. But all of a sudden this, he says, you know, I'm sorry, I just don't feel I can do that for you. Now, whether you would have made that decision or not, it was his and her right as a Christian. Well, maybe not. Maybe not. Former Republican Party, and I'm not here to get into politics, but I want to make a strong statement. Just the other day, the former head of the Republican Party was on CNN, and he said, I have four words for the evangelicals. Shut the blankety blank up. Yeah. And I know what I want to say to him. You had your way for decades in our nation where the Church of Jesus Christ acquiesced and gave away the opportunity to speak up in the marketplace. And it is our right, like anybody else's, to speak the Word of God. But you see, comfort zone for folks is, let's take the Christians and their message, their Jesus, and put them in a box we can control and put them away from us. Look, we love everybody. We're involved in spiritual warfare. And so we pray. And so we say things that need to be said in a spirit of love. And we're not going to cower, and we're not going to walk away from the challenge to be salt and light in our generation. I am telling you this morning, I am urging you this morning, hold on to your convictions. You're going to be tested every single day. Every single day. I'm going to finish with this story. Ben Carson, who is the Secretary of Housing and Urban Development, this week defiantly responded to two atheist organizations who have pledged and started a lawsuit against him because he has a Bible study with other members of the cabinet. And the Bible study includes people like Rick Perry and Betsy DeVos and Agricultural Secretary Sonny Perdue, CIA Director Mike Pompeo, and Attorney General Jeff Sessions, and they have a Bible study. And these organizations are trying to say, you know, they're trying to shut him down and they're trying to force him to stop and trying to say who's paying for this Bible study. And no funds by the government are going into this Bible study. They're just meeting and encouraging each other in the Lord. And how did he respond? Hold on to the courage of your convictions. And if you've seen this man in the past, he is a much softer spoken fella who stands for the courage of his convictions. And he said, first of all, taxpayer funds are not used to support the ministry. Secondly, no staff are involved in the Bible study because they were trying to say you're forcing people to get involved. More importantly, here's what he said. I refuse to be intimidated by anti-religious groups into relinquishing my spirituality or religious beliefs. One of the principles of our nation's founding is freedom of religion. I will not stop being a Christian while in service to this country. In fact, it's my faith that helps me serve the nation even better. Yes. He went on to say the relentless attacks on the spirituality of our nation must be resisted. We are not like everyone else, which is precisely the reason we rose so rapidly from obscurity to become the most powerful and free nation in history. He went on to explain that the three foundation American principles are under attack, citing patriotism, morality, and spirituality. And here's what he said. We the people must decide who we are and what we stand for. Remember, the phrase says, if you won't stand for something, you will fall for anything. He added, if America doesn't know and decide who we are and what we stand for, our nation could become unrecognizable. So what am I here to say this morning? I am here to say that we love everybody, but we have to love not our lives to the death. We need to not love popularity so much that we compromise our convictions because we refuse to share the truth. Now, there's a time to listen to the Spirit of God to speak something to your neighbor and to your teenagers and to your kids and grandchildren. And there's a time the Holy Spirit might restrain you because He'll prepare the hearts. As you pray for these people, as we pray for these people, the Lord will give opportunity. But we need to do everything we can to stand in front of our nation, our families, our friends, our neighbors, to keep them from going to hell because heaven and hell are real. And we need to, in this time, while the Spirit of God is still moving, do our part to hold on to our convictions. Amen? Stand with me, would you please? Musicians, will you come? Hold on to the courage of your convictions. Now, I know we sang an old song this morning when we sang Stand Up for Jesus. But it is a powerful set of words. Now I'm going to ask you to sing that with me again as we close. And as we close, Pastor Sherry is going to have these back there in the back. Quite some time ago, we bought, if you would desire, these decals for your car windows that say, you can't see them, but they say, "In God We Trust." And so if you want one this morning, see Pastor Sherry on the way out. There's only one per family. So if you want that for your windows, do it. Amen? Amen? All right, you guys, let's go to the word or to the song. Father, we thank you for this morning's truth that you are in charge, that you are in control, and that you strengthen your people as we stand up for you. We love you, Lord, and we thank you that you help us, you give us grace, and together again this day, we pray and cry out for revival in our nation, right here in this region. We pray for the kids in our school system, for our teenagers, our grandchildren, our great-grandchildren. And we ask you, Lord, to bring great revival in the name of Jesus. Say that with me. Bring great revival in the name of Jesus. Again, bring great revival in the name of Jesus. Lord, this morning we choose to stand. We choose to stand for you, for your word, for your truth. We choose to stand in the gap and pray for our country and share your word with our neighbors, with our families and friends. We choose, Lord, this morning to hold on to the courage of our convictions. We hold on to you and your word of truth. We love you, Lord, and pray that you'll grant us great favor in even this week. Great favor in bringing and helping share your word and bringing people to Jesus. Amen. We trust you for it, Lord, and we thank you for it. In the name of Jesus, amen. The Lord has spoken to your heart this morning. You want to seal things in with him as you come up here to this area and pray. You're welcome to do that. If you need further physical healing in your body, I know you can grab one of the leadership team and others will be happy and honored to pray for you. Would you raise your hands for the blessing, please? For I know the thoughts that I think toward you, says the Lord, thoughts of peace, not of evil, to give you a future and a hope. We thank you, Lord, for the future and the hope that you have given us. In the powerful name of Jesus, we all said,
Amen.
Amen. Be released. Have a fantastic day in the Lord.